It's time for Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here is your host, the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Welcome in. Happy Monday. The NFL draft is in the books. We'll talk with TJ Reeves about that in just a little bit. The NBA playoffs, always surprised. The injuries, though, are incredible. We'll get into that in medals and golf. Two big events this week. Two great stories. We'll get to all of those. We've got TJ Reeves, Mike DeCourcy in the middle, Ted Butler on golf at the very end. So we do a thing every Monday morning. We call it medals, both precious and bad. I got to give a medal. It's a bronze. I could go higher for this, but I go back to my theory that are going to be 100 points scored in every NBA game. Somebody's going to get them no matter what. But nobody would have thought Io DeSumo was going to get 43? 43 in the game for Minnesota against Denver. They'll need him. Minnesota is surprisingly up 3-1 in that series. Man, there's some hard feelings in that series. But the injuries that the Timberwolves are facing, we're going to get into that a little bit later in the Russ. You think about all the people that have been injured in and around the playoffs. I don't know what the answer is for the NBA, but DeSumo gets my bronze. Silver medals, I'll begin with the Fitzpatrick brothers. They won the Zurich, you know, before that, the RBC Heritage at Harbortown. That was won by Matt Fitzpatrick. He's won that a couple of times. He's now won three times this year. But it was an amazing feat for his younger brother, who actually caddied for him when he won the U.S. Amateur way, 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 way back before, of course, he won the U.S. Open. Fitzpatrick has won some major stuff. He's now the number three player in the world. But Alex, who had won a DP World Tour, is really just beginning. He is this. Got in on an exemption, sponsor's exemption, to play with his brother in this tournament. Alex and Matt win the tournament. That means a two-year eligibility for Alex. How about that? So he's made good money. He gets a share of this one paycheck. He's already won a DP World Tour deal. He's on his way. I just felt so good for them. And then there is no question, the new superstar in women's golf is Nelly Korda. I give her a silver. I could have given her more. But the guy who gets the gold, that's really an accomplishment. The young lady, Nelly Korda, from this very athletic family. Her father was a tennis pro. Her brother, sister was on the PGA Tour. I think her brother is I can't remember if he's on the tennis circuit or he's trying to make it in golf. But they're amazing. She won her third major yesterday. She's only 27, by the way. I think she's only one of like four or five people that have won three majors under the age of 28. This, by the way, was her 17th win. She wins this with a score of 18 under. So two of her three majors have been by 18 under. No one else has done that before. And she blew the field away by winning by five strokes. When this lady's on, and she was missing putts, and that's what she said afterwards. She goes, you know, I this is a lesson for everybody, including myself. You can miss some silly putts and still win. Just keep your head up. And that's what she did. She's an amazing striker of the ball. I know she hits a drive 275, 280. She's hitting a 7-iron 165, 170. It's amazing. And then finally, my gold medal goes to Sebastian Sawe. Sebastian Sawe ran the fastest marathon, 26.2 miles in history. He ran it in 1 hour, 59 minutes, 30 seconds. That breaks the two-hour barrier. Nobody's ever done that before. I don't know if this is like Roger Bannister when he broke the four-minute mile mark, because that was really a benchmark. But can you imagine hours. No one could ever break. This is, by the way, a fast track, this marathon in London. So must be very flat, must be windy conditions in your favor. But doesn't matter. People have been running on that same route for years. No one's ever been able to break 2 hours. He not only broke it, but it's the fastest marathon in history by 65 seconds. That's just incredible. There's no question. He gets the gold.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll start off with my bronze. I'm going to give it to the NFL draft. I think shrinking down the time per picks really, really made it fly by that night one.
Yeah.
Definitely not as long as it normally was, so really, really good there. It seemed by the time the players got to the stage and were celebrating, the pick was already in for the next team, so that was really, really good to see. And then I'm giving two extra bronzes to kind of after all the dust had settled for the NFL draft. We had two signings in undrafted free agency that I think are very worth noting. Hawaii's kicker Kansei Matsuzawa got signed to the Las Vegas Raiders. I am so pumped for him.
How far can he kick it?
I think his longest in college was a 55-yarder.
Yeah, that's good.
But he didn't miss when he was in college. He didn't miss a field goal. So
what? He was perfect for his career.
In the field.
He never missed a field
goal? I think he missed one his senior year. But this is a guy who learned from YouTube, walked on at Hawaii, and then is now playing in the NFL as a kicker for the Las Vegas Raiders. I think that's incredible. Excited to see what he does. He's a really accurate kicker, so I'm really happy for him. And then local running back star Lincoln Pear played at Houston High School, played at Arkansas State, Texas State. He also got signed as an undrafted free agent. He's going to be an Indianapolis Colt. So local guy in Lincoln Pear making it to the NFL. We'll see how his career shapes out there. But the fact that he got there, I think, is really, really special for him. Speaking of the fact that I played with that guy, and truth be told, I cleaned his clock in practice a few times, too. So that's my claim to fame.
Whoa.
Yeah. So maybe some fighting words there. But he's in the NFL, and I'm not. So
true.
That's a huge difference.
But look where you are. Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, different areas in the career. But silver medal for me, I'm giving it to the Fitzpatrick brothers who won the Zurich Classic. I mean, I guess when you're brothers, your team chemistry's got to be on another level, and that just showed through.
It certainly was Saturday when they broke the record
with
57.
Absolutely.
But they tried to blow it yesterday.
They tried, but alas, to no avail. So there are big winners there. Silver medal to the Celtics and their big win. And even with Joel Embiid coming back, Jason Tatum, 30 points, and then Peyton Pritchard in that same game with 32 points to help catapult them to a big win. And then in the Timberwolves-Nuggets games, you mentioned AO and his legendary performance with 43 points. Absolutely stood out and stood up in that game and did incredible. And then my gold as well goes to Sebastian Salway, which somebody broke down kind of the math behind it all. In 26.2 miles, that guy recorded a 4-minute 33 mile for that entire run.
That's
incredible.
That's
and then on top of that, the guy who placed second place also ran a sub-2-hour
I know. Oh, and he gets lost in it.
Yeah, and he's just like, okay, well, you got second place, but still, incredible stuff.
Yeah, no, that is a great story, for sure. Real quick, because we're late, I give a rust to all the playoff injuries. You think about it. Now, Ant is out, and you could say he's one of the top five players in the NBA. He's out for a few weeks. Can they still make it to the second round? They got two more games. They got win one more game, but Denver's healthy. Crazy on that front. No DiVincenzo, another of the Minnesota Timberwolves, who's now, that was a crushing blow in Achilles. He's definitely out for that. That'll probably be all of next season, too. Luka, Reeves, Embiid, KD, all these big names. What in the world is happening?
Yeah, my quick rust, I'm giving it to Jokic in the ending of that Timberwolves game. I get where he's coming from, how McDaniels kind of broke that unwritten rule of scoring when everybody else had kind of given up. But a lot of people also claimed that was the fastest Jokic ran down the court that entire night to play defense against something that was already over and done
with.
Well,
that's something McDaniels put out, which is part of the reason why.
Exactly.
They had already called him a bad defensive team, so there was some frustration there.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's cheap shot stuff.
It is. Well, I mean, if you play defense the entire game and you actually go out there and do your job, then a situation like that doesn't even need to
arise. I'm going to go the other way on this. I'm going to go, I'd give that to McDaniels over
I think it was heightened frustration, but I don't think you need to respond in that way. I think that's just pretty lousy.
We're going to be joined by TJ Reeves momentarily. The medals are brought to you by Southern Security. You know, they get the best rates going because they're a not-for-profit. They've got 7 locations with all those low rates, flexible terms, no PMI, and unbeatable service. You can refinance your current mortgage with the Mid-South's best mortgage lender. Two ways, going online at southernsecurity.org or just calling the office and talking to a human being at 901-452-7900. Southern Security, your home team credit union, federally insured by NCUA. And also, this portion of the show brought to you by Landers Cadillac of Memphis. You know you're always going to get top dollar on a trade-in when you deal with any of the Landers, but especially at Landers Cadillac. And you know how beautiful this brand new showroom is. All of the new Cadillac models are in, but you know they sell fast. So go in and talk and see how much you can save with the Landers Easy Pass by going to @CadillacOfMemphis.com. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. To Tampa we go. We've checked in a little bit. The draft was quicker. There wasn't as much drama as I thought there was going to be. Everybody seems to think that the Giants and the Browns had great drafts. There's a lot of B's and A's in there, but those two seem to have stood out. I know Tampa got graded fairly high, and Mr. Reeves, Reuben Bain was their first pick, the edge rusher. They're saying, I think in Tampa they're saying anyway, he's the new Warren Sapp. Is that true? Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, nothing like comparing this situation to a Hall of Fame player from back 30 years ago, but it is interesting. Same school, and the fact that Sapp dropped in that draft. Remember, there were concerns about his background and previous drug situations and that kind of thing, so he kind of fell into the Buccaneers' lap, and that's not unlike what happened on Thursday night, as we go back to the round one.
Yeah.
Where Bain, it was believed Bain was going to be at most a top 10 pick, if not maybe in the top 5 or 6 of this draft. And he's still sitting there without Tampa Bay having to trade up. And that's a need for them. And I know you are bemoaning that your Bears, while they got some help, didn't really get an edge rusher until late in the draft.
Well, I will say this about my Bears. I love the first two picks. So in the first pick, they take a guy who's considered to be a top 10 guy. And they get him at 25, and he's going to be serviceable right away. A safety that started at Purdue went to Oregon. Then they get their center for long term, the best center on the board anywhere. They get him second round.
And by the way, he played on the Iowa offensive line. I did the ReliaQuest Bowl game, Iowa, and we'll get to Diego Pavia in a second. And yeah. Diego Pavia and Vanderbilt were the opponent. And that Iowa offensive line as a unit won the top offensive line in the country, graded out and voted on for their lack of penalties, how often they give up a sack, how often they have a 100-yard rushing game. He's the anchor of that line. So you're right. They did very well at the beginning. But you're unhappy you didn't get a pass rusher until like the very end on Saturday.
The last pick in the – not the last pick of the draft. The Bears' last pick in the 7th round. And they didn't address a major need. So that kind of bothered me because I got to believe there was somebody available in the 3rd round where they took that little wide receiver who's also a kick returner. He had the fastest 40. But anyway, make a long story short, I thought the Bears did great in the first two picks. After that, I'm not as impressed. They went with a tight end they didn't need. I think there was some surprises, like Ty Simpson. Ty Simpson going in the first round as high as he went when most people didn't think he would go until early second round.
Well, first of all, you were apparently surprised. A lot of people were surprised. And how about Sean McVay? Did he look exactly thrilled at the press conference and they had to really backpedal?
Boy, did he turn that around.
And so, yes, you got to turn that frown upside down, coach, here with the quarterback. Somebody did bring up a great point, and I would love to know the answer. I don't know the answer. When is the last time a contending playoff team with the most valuable player quarterback drafted a quarterback in the first round the following year? The Rams, again, were in the NFC Championship game. Stafford is the most valuable player, voted on last year, and they draft a QB in the first round the next year. So that is intriguing. I don't know when that's happened before.
I was trying to remember, too, because I never got the sense that Stafford was totally at the end of the line.
Kelly's what, 36, and I think he's going to be 37.
Yeah,
sooner or later,
right.
You have to prepare for this.
Right.
And the key here is they get a fifth-year option. All first-round picks, you get a fifth-year option. So you can evaluate Simpson in 28 and in 29 and have an extra year where he doesn't cost as much when you pick up that fifth-year option. So who knows?
Well, you know what?
I mean, it's interesting.
I haven't heard his side of it. But I remember Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love. That did not end pretty.
No, it did not. And as more than one starting quarterback has said, you can use it as motivation. You can choose to try to engineer a trade, you know, et cetera. But, you know, by and large, they're not drafting that guy just to kind of be there. They're drafting that guy to eventually be the quarterback. Now, it probably won't be next year in L.A. unless something happens health-wise with Stafford. So it's probably a long-term play. But, I mean, I love all of the build-up and all of the takes that he was maybe not going to go in the first round, and now he gets picked in the top 15, making huge money to be in Los Angeles.
Right.
And so it worked out, obviously, for Simpson. And it was interesting with the faster picks and how faster pace it got. But the thing that they're battling is with technology and social media. I know you're not the biggest social media guy, but they were so far behind, they were sometimes two picks behind on Thursday night, that social media was scooping the whole draft.
Wow.
They already knew.
I didn't know that. I was watching ESPN's version.
Yeah,
Mike,
I mean, Landon can verify this. Come on to Mike, Landon. I mean, at times, they were 10, 12 minutes behind, and social media's got the next two picks on social media.
Really?
Like almost revealing
very
the
true.
End of the movie or the end of the book. Right, Landon?
Yeah, that's very true.
They got to fix that. You can't have that.
Yeah, but I mean,
no.
They went to the 8 minutes instead of 10, and they and ultimately, look, it's a TV show. I mean, I kept saying this to people that are watching. I'm like, do you think that they just magically know to have the right highlight video and the graphics up for the next player? Of course, they've known for 3 or 4 minutes because the NFL told them, "Hey, the Bears are taking the Oregon guy at safety. Get the video package ready. Get the graphics ready." So it is a show, after all.
Yeah.
You just got to be careful.
Well, I just,
if you don't want surprises.
I'm amazed at how big it is. Over 5 different platforms of conventional cable or regular TV.
Whoa,
okay,
wait. Had,
and almost, what, 300,000 to half a million people there.
They had 320,000 people there by
crazy.
Estimate on Thursday night.
That's just nuts.
320,000, and it wasn't a game. It wasn't a sporting event. Of course, you don't have a stadium in the world that would hold 300,000 people.
Wait,
I mean, you talk about crowd control and well-behaved, but 320,000 people, man.
Here's what I don't quite get. I mean, how many of those were people from Pittsburgh, because that's where it was? Because there's like little sections for each team, or so it seems to me.
Oh, it's
these people are now coming from all over the country.
Yes, it's a pilgrimage. There are tens of thousands that come from all the NFL cities and descend there, and so it's become an event. They have stumbled. Well, because you remember it was in Nashville back a few years ago, and it was there on Broadway downtown. Is you're familiar, your audience is obviously familiar. It's been to Nashville, and they literally had a couple hundred thousand people there, and the NFL has just watched this thing mushroom into an event. It's not even a game. It's one of the most amazing television viewership situations in sports for something that is not a game. And everybody else is chasing that. The NBA is chasing it, Major League Baseball with their draft. You know, you have the Sunday night selection show for the NCAA tournament. But, I mean, this is crazy
what
has become to pick players.
I'm an old guy, so I don't really count in all this because they're not after me. But I don't really care. After the first three, all I want to know after that is the Bears. Who did the Bears get? I might want to know
Green
Bay and Detroit might have picked up, but mainly I'm just interested in the Bears. So, like, I watched the first hour of the broadcast, which I thought was cool. I thought, you know, the way they started it, bringing about all the ex-Steeler Hall of Famers, that was cool. But I don't know. It's not my thing. I mean, unless they're giving me free drinks, I don't think I would go all that way.
to stand there and watch what happens.
Well, they've got to be watching on the big screens, too. They got to be in on it, right? Don't they?
Oh, right,
do
right.
they hear the
well,
interviews
true.
And that stuff?
Well, but the wild thing, too, is the Steelers thought they were drafting the wide receiver from USC, Malachi Lemon.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, they weren't up on the clock, but they I guess thought they were. And Philadelphia jumped in front of them in a trade with the Cowboys.
I saw that, yeah.
And they interrupt the draft room phone call that the Steelers draft room was making to Malachi Lemon, and his agent's going over going, hey, take this. This is Philadelphia. Right. Philadelphia's taking us. Yeah. Hang up.
How classic is that in Pittsburgh? Hold on, Pittsburgh. I got my call waiting. Hold on. I got to talk to these guys. Crazy. I agree with you. All right, last thing. PGA Tour is going to your neck of the woods. Well, not. It's a little further south. To Miami, Doral. That's the Trump.
Wow.
Golf course. It's another signature. No Rory McIlroy. He's missing his second signature. I think the PGA is mad at him. What a crazy week this is for the president after what happened at the correspondents' dinner. He's got King Charles and his wife coming in today. He's got a war going on.
He's trying to send somebody
to Pakistan, I think, sooner or later. And he's got this golf tournament now. Crazy.
It is crazy. They have not played at Doral. Remember, that was such, speaking of signatures, that was such a signature tournament in Miami for like 50 years. They've not played it since 2016, since he got elected president the first time and there was all the controversy. So this has been in the making for the last couple of years to get Doral back on the schedule, and this is the week for it. And as you mentioned, you have the mayhem of Saturday night and the correspondents' dinner. You got King Charles there. And now you have the tournament and everything else that's going on. It's a wild time.
Well, the other aspect is, you know, it's hard to believe that a guy could be the host to a live event and then still be the host of a PGA event.
Oh, yeah. And he will be there this weekend. I mean, this is a big deal. It's the Miami Championship, and it's the best of the best. Scheffler is there. The other big names primarily are there, except for Rory. So Stay tuned, my friend. Never a dull moment.
You got it. All right. Thank you much. We appreciate you. We'll talk to you next Monday.
All right, Waldo. Always good to be with you. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Our guy in Tampa. Sitting in the Family Leisure Studios. Don't forget the Battle of the Brands. You can get a hot tub and a swim spa. They're actually calling this the Hot Tub and Swim Spa Expo. We call it the Battle of the Brands because there's literally seven manufacturers all fighting for your business. So if you're ready for a hot tub, if you want the swim spa under 17 grand, and mention this ad, you get a free cover lift for your spa purchase. Get there. Get there for this new sale. Oh, and by the way, there is a chemical sale going on. All you got to do is get to Family Leisure. We take the break. We're coming back in just a minute. We're actually going to Pittsburgh. Our good friend from the Sporting News, Mike DeCourcy, is right around the corner.
Did you miss your favorite Sports 56 show?
No!
Check out the podcast, broken down hourly, at sports56whbq.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to like and subscribe. Never miss any Sports 56 show again with our podcasts available daily from Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Run. Now back to Wallow and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Just in, John Calipari's done it again. He's gotten a five-star seven-footer from Finland. His name is, I think it's Mika Murinen, which means that John and the Razorbacks now have the number one recruiting class in the country. Pretty amazing stuff there. We're going to Pittsburgh in a minute where that draft just was. We're going to talk to Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News. He's brought to you by Memphis Tourism and the Memphis Sports Council. And, you know, in Shelby County, you can really enjoy the great outdoor with amazing amenities, whether you're a visitor or, of course, a community member. It's riding bikes through Shelby Farms or across the city on the Green Line or gliding over the Mississippi on the Big River Crossing or just walking it. These are some of the reasons that make Memphis one of the best cities with amenities in America and best bike cities, too. The Green Line is amazing. All of this with great planning, done in part by Memphis Tourism and the Memphis Sports Council, which bring you Mike DeCourcy every single week. So what was it like in Pittsburgh with all the 320,000 people right near the football stadium for this draft? That had to be nuts, though.
It was pretty amazing.
really. I was in the middle of it, and I did not get a parking pass, so that meant I had to park uptown and walk 2 miles to the stadium area, and then I had to walk another mile or two to get to where the credentials were on the opposite side of the stadium, which was good because, one, I need the exercise, and two, it gave me a chance to observe everything that was going on from uptown where the Penguins Arena is, where it was very quiet because a lot of employees were told to stay home, work remote, whatever, during that period, those 2 days, Thursday and Friday,
right?
Because a lot of streets were blocked off and all that. So it was very quiet there. And then the closer you got, the more it was amazing. Before I got to the North Shore of Pittsburgh, across the Allegheny River on the Roberto Clemente Bridge, I believe the figure that I came up with, something like 24 out of 32 team jerseys I'd seen already. Wow.
Yeah, I was curious, how many are Pittsburghers? How many are, because you see all the little different sections for fans from every team. How many are out-of-towners that come to this?
Yeah, I would say that it was probably 70-30, 80-20, something like that. There were a lot of Pittsburgh people. Of course, you don't know. I mean, I'm just observing, right? I didn't talk to all 800,000 or whatever. So some of them could have been Pittsburgh fans who came from elsewhere.
Right.
But they're out of the fan bases, like I said, the preponderance, the vast majority was Steelers jerseys, and it was really cool because some of them were really obscure. There was a running back that they had who scored a huge touchdown in a playoff game in the 2002-03 season named Chris Fuamatu Maafala, and I saw one of his jerseys there. I bet you Chris probably had fewer than 2,000 career rushing yards for the Steelers, but he had that TD and he had that great name, and he was represented. Before I even got to the draft, though, there was a Kenny Pickett jersey. And, like, Kenny Pickett is viewed as maybe the most tragic draft pick of the last quarter century, and there was still somebody out there repping him.
I love that. I am curious about this, and so I'm really glad you covered this. And that is, what is the fans' experience like? Like, I don't know where the media is for this. I know where the TV people are. But can the general fan, crowded in, 320,000 of them, can they follow what's going on? Do they hear the interviews? Are they watching on the big screens? What is that experience like for them?
The sound, I didn't find. I was well in the back. I did, because I got there and I wanted to explore and I wanted to conduct interviews with people in the stadium where it was a little bit easier to get to people. So I didn't get into the draft theater, they call it, until probably 6:30, quarter to seven, somewhere in there. So there were people that were there for hours before I got there. And so by the time I got there, I'm probably in the back third, if not the back 20% of where the fans are. There are hundreds of thousands in front of me when I get there. So my sound was not great. I could hear every pick. I could hear Roger Goodell say, "Are Yins ready?" I heard that. You could hear the bands when they were playing. But there were three hosts, two young women and Rondé Barber, Hall of Fame defensive back. And I couldn't hear anything they said. I don't know exactly why, but when they went to the mic that was for the picks, you could hear everything. The interviews and stuff that were done for the benefit of the broadcast, you had none of that. But you could hear every pick, whether it was Goodell going up there or later on, whether it was someone special like Jerome Bettis or whoever, you could hear all of that.
I know I heard Roger Goodell, I think it was with Mike Greenberg, part of the pre-draft broadcast. And, you know, even he admits he never envisioned it being this big when they decided to take this draft on the road. But
yes.
I got to wonder, with 320,000 people all downtown and drinking at bars and eating at restaurants, do you have any idea, since you're brought by the Memphis Tourism as your sponsor, what kind of economic impact that had for the city of Pittsburgh?
Yeah, it was a lot. All the hotels were filled. There were stories about this business or that business not getting attended well. But I can tell you, there are a series of bars on the North Shore that were all built bars, restaurants, I should say, that were all built in adjacent, in between the stadium, the Acrisure Stadium and PNC Park, where the Pirates play, and they were loaded. I mean, there were people standing in line. So they had to do great business. It's impossible for them not to have. And remember, I mean, like they have the Pirates games, 80 times a year, and then they have Steelers games 10, 11 times a year, and they have Pitt games. But this had to be among their absolute best nights for that. When I walked back, I watched the first two picks, and then I left to write. And so when I walked back across the Clemente Bridge to 6th Street, there are a series of bars and restaurants there that were all full of people. Like I said, the farther away I got from that area, the fewer people I encountered. There was one pizza place that Deb and I went to one time, upscale pizza place. They didn't have any TV. So, like, there were two people in the place. I'm not kidding. Right. Now, it was, what, it was 8:30, 8, whatever it was, somewhere. And well, by the time I got there, it was almost 9 because I had to walk. So it was almost 9 by the time I got up there, but there was nobody in that place at all. So there, I have no doubt that the draft's entrance hurt particular businesses who would ordinarily get workday traffic on a Thursday and Friday that wasn't there. But it absolutely invigorated those businesses on the north side, and it also it was another date for Heinz Field to sell concessions. There were a lot of I grabbed a Diet Pepsi there at Acrisure when I was there, and the concessions and bar were open.
I was going to say, are there booze selling booze there?
Yeah, they were. The PNC Park has a river walk in their outfield that's in between the outfield and the Allegheny River, and that was wide open with concessions, and they have a bar there. And they had the draft on the bar, and they had the Pirates game on the big screen if you wanted to go out and watch that. It was a really cool atmosphere, and we were very blessed with unbelievable weather that night. It had originally, like a week before, been forecast to be in the 50s, and then all of a sudden a big heat wave came south or north or whatever, and we ended up with temperatures in the 70s and 80s, and it was just spectacular.
Well, all these cities are going to vie for the draft now, and it's
you know. Can I tell you one more thing about that?
I'd love to hear.
Kyle Veltrop, who used to work with us at the Sporting News as an editor and writer, once did a piece, and he couldn't find the clip, but he once did a piece about this, about doing this, back when it was still held in either what we used to call the Felt Forum beneath Madison Square Garden or Radio City in New York. Felt Forum holds about 3,500. Most famous for the day when the Eagles fans were lamenting the pick of the quarterback from Syracuse, Donovan McNabb, because they wanted a running back instead. And then later on, they moved it to Radio City, which holds about 6,000. And at that somewhere in that point, Kyle wrote a piece about how they should be doing something like this.
Wow!
And an official from the league told him, "Sorry, but that's a terrible idea." That's what he was told. So my man was 25 years ahead of his time.
That's something. That is a great, great story. All right, I'm going to switch gears real quick because I love talking with you because you always think outside the box. So you know by now all the injuries in the NBA. In playoffs, like you got Ant out now. DiVincenzo is gone for at least a year. Luka and Reeves of the Lakers and Embiid's out. KD's not playing half the time. What do you think? And look, the Grizzlies, some of this was tanking, but the Grizzlies had two out of the last 3 years that they've had so many injuries. You know, they've played like 50 guys a year. It's crazy. Yeah. What do you think is the reason for the amount of injuries in the NBA? Pace of the game? I'm bewildered.
I think it has to do with the way the game is played now. Guys are so dynamic. It's funny because, like, shoe technology and all of that has come a long way, but I think, in a sense, it's allowed them to do more. I mean, when you're playing in Converse All-Star Canvas with the
I remember.
Whole,
what like, was that called? The Chuck?
The Chuck Taylor, yeah.
Chuck Taylor, yeah.
Like you couldn't do the thing. Even Doc, I mean, well, maybe Doc could, but Dr. J, Julius Erving, maybe could do those things. But it's just like all those guys now are so dynamic, and they're trained to the absolute peak of possibility. And I think sometimes maybe, I'm not a physiologist, and but I think they're trained so to such a peak that the next step beyond the peak where they are is I'm hurt. I think that's an issue because we didn't used to see this in the NBA in the 80s or the 90s. Guys got hurt. I mean, it's a sport. Guys are going to get hurt. But we didn't used to see such a volume. And it's like guys aren't playing any more now than they used to in terms of the actual
NBA. Oh, they're playing less minutes for
sure.
Yeah.
There's load management and all that. They're really paying attention to that. But I have to think it's how the athletes are trained now. And I'm not saying they're being trained wrong because you have to reach the peak of performance that everybody else is or you're not playing. So I just think I think it has to do with that. Back when Larry Bird was playing, I mean, he had a bad back eventually. But Michael Jordan never, other than the broken foot in his second year, I mean, he never had to sit because he was hurt.
He played a lot more minutes. Yeah, and actually, they had to change the rules because it had gotten more physical. That doesn't mean it was the pace. It's either a pace problem, too many games to play at that pace. I don't know. Your thing about training, they might have to look into that. I really don't know. And the only other thing you could think of would be do they start shortening the shifts. You know, I'm not saying go to a hockey one in a minute, but something's got to be done.
Yeah, it really, I mean, you look at the Pacers that made the finals. They made the conference finals in 24 and then the finals in 25. And then at the end of that, Tyrese Halliburton goes down. And then they came back. They tanked, obviously.
No question.
But that wasn't the plan. They thought, we're still going to be okay. We're going to go and we're going to play and we're still going to be okay. We're not going to be what we would be with Tyrese, but we're still going to be okay. And then guys started really going down.
Right.
Like that, and that's when they said, okay, yeah, you know, AJ DeBons is out there. That might not be a bad idea.
Well, the interesting aspect to me is I think Boston was thinking along the same lines, and yet,
yes,
even without their best player, Jaylen Brown was unbelievable. I mean, they kept winning. And then Tatum comes back and look out. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I think that was the Pacers' ideal, although I don't know that they could have been as good as the Celtics were because they didn't have a Jaylen Brown type figure. They were much more based around Tyrese and four really, really good guys. And so I don't think that was possible for them. But that was the plan, and it was disrupted almost immediately. Like within the first 2 weeks of the season, they knew that they were in big trouble.
He's Mike DeCourcy from the Sporting News and a whole lot more. Mike, thank you. We'll talk next Monday.
Thanks, Dave.
And is our man. He's brought to you in part by Shell Dunn. You know, with the draft, you got to have a quarterback, right? That's the guy that went number one. That was Mendoza. You want your Mendoza? I got him. He could actually be your Caleb Williams or Aaron Rodgers. Or Matthew Stafford. I'm talking Sheldon Rosengart, Mark Spensdorf. He's your quarterback because he's a veteran. He knows everything. He's seen everything. And he's the kind of guy that has the plan and executes the plan. He knows it. He's got a strategy. It's called a marketing strategy for Sheldon. And all you got to do is talk to him. Now, he says talk to two or three real estate brokers. If you're thinking about selling or buying a house, just make sure he's one of them. Once you learn the strategy, he's with you 365, 24/7. You'll get to the closing table quicker. For the best price, if you call my guy, 483-0546, or take a look at the website, memphisrelocate.com. That's 483-0546 or memphisrelocate.com. Get the job done with Sheldon. We're going to summer games and putt-putt in just a minute. Ted Butler standing by. We talk golf next.
Add a little fun to your lunch break. Join Johnny Radio for Sports 56 Happy Hour from 11 to 1 every weekday on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Now back to Wolo and Friends on Sports 56. Here once again is the voice of the Tigers, Dave Woloshin.
Welcome in. We talk golf with Ted Butler every Monday. He's brought to you in part by Memphis Public Links. They got so much going on right now, and I got to tell you, the air conditions of those golf courses are outstanding. From the new Audubon, doesn't feel like it's new. It's in that kind of shape. Pine Hill, if you've not played the new Pine Hill since, you know, they redid it a couple of years ago, you'll be amazed. They just had that women's tournament there. That's how good that golf course is. Then there's Galloway, you know that, and Overton Park. You just can't be. Oh, I got to mention Ali in Fox Meadows, and they've done a great job. Their superintendent has that golf course in great shape. The city realized a long time ago, you got to have great amenities to make a great city. They've done that with golf, I promise you. Go get a tee time today. All you got to do is go to memphispubliclinks.com. I know, Ted Butler, you had to be glued to the TV watching the Fitzpatrick brothers and also Nelly Korda. What was the most impressive thing to you this weekend in pro golf?
Well, the Fitzpatrick boys are great. I think that's a great win for them. I didn't see Nelly Korda win. I've had family in town all week, so I didn't get to see a whole lot of golf. But the Fitzpatrick thing is really cool, though. You know, both other brothers, nice.
Both. The interesting, we just lost you there for a second. The most interesting aspect about this to me was, you know, obviously, both Matt and Alex played unbelievably well with best ball on Saturday. They tried to give this thing away yesterday. It was Matt who was terrible until the final shots, and Alex was the guy that was saving the day, and now he's got 2 years of a PGA Tour card.
It's pretty amazing, especially for him. You know, I mean, what has he done in his life in golf? Some stuff.
Well, yeah. Well, Alex, well, he just won a DP World Tour event, so he's really set over there on the European Tour. But now he's set for 2 years here, and I got a feeling, you know, that gets him into every signature event, including this week. He hasn't been able to hang with his family that much in America because he's playing in Europe. This gets the family together. This is really a great story.
Yes, it is. I like it. And the golf courses around town are great. Looked at almost every one of them, the best shape I've ever seen them in.
Yeah. No, I'm, and you know what? Where they played the Chevron, where Nelly Korda won, I think cities are catching on now. Because they played at the old Memorial Park, which I played years and years ago. Of course, they've redone it, and it's incredible. They just held a major. And I got to ask you about Nelly Korda. You analyze swings. I believe Bones McKay basically said her swing reminds him of Davis Love, except she's a better putter. She won at the age of 27, her third major. She's won 17 times. She's a shoo-in to become a Hall of Famer. And, you know, she's going to win a lot more. That's her second win, I think, this year. So, I mean, what do you think of her, and whose swing does she remind you of?
Well, her swing is perfect. Let's put it that way. Start to finish, top to bottom, her posture, her tempo, everything she does. It's almost like mechanical. But, you know, maybe Davis Love is probably right. I mean, that sounds like, yeah, I would agree with that.
All right. We're moving to Miami. Durrell with the signature event. I think somebody pointed this out, and I think it's right. You're now going to have a signature event every month, and just about a major every month. Those are where we're going to see the great players. This is the second signature event. This is how much money there is in the game that Rory McIlroy is not showing up for. Do we have a problem here?
No, he's just basking in his Augusta National jacket again, I guess. I don't think it's a problem. He's getting ready for the majors, I guess. If the U.S. Open coming up. He doesn't need the money, so I don't know. Have you heard a problem?
Well, you know, I know they got Scottie Scheffler. I think they got the Fitzpatrick brothers. And Alex is now, not Alex. Matt's now the number three player in the world. But is that his third win this year? I mean, you got to start talking about him a little bit more. I know the sand shot was the most unbelievable shot. And we know when he beat Scheffler at the RBC Heritage, that was one of the best five irons I've ever seen. Just where do you put Fitzpatrick now? You just put him just behind Scotty and Rory?
Absolutely. I mean, who else could squeeze in there? He's playing great golf and has for quite some time now. And those shots he hit at Hilton, you're right, that long iron on 18, that playoff was unbelievable.
Who would you put after that? Seriously, guys like Hovland?
No, Shoffley maybe.
Xander, yeah. Colin Morikawa, you put him up there still?
Top 10-ish, yeah, as long as he's healthy. You think there's so many of them so bunched together right now? It's just hard to say.
Yeah, I do think there's an issue. When you've restructured your tournament schedule, and no one knows where Memphis is going to be. Will it be in May or early June as a signature event? Will it be the number one or the opening of the playoffs? We're not going to find out till June, I'm told now. So,
right.
And we sort of had this discussion. I mean, the May or June would be perfect, but you're not going to get the golf course in the same sort of thing, but what you know, I just want to make sure we have an event here. That's the most important.
Right.
But
I agree.
But back to this point, when you're restructuring this to make sure, pretty much, you know, April you've got Augusta, May you've got, what is it, the PGA that's next? Then June is the U.S. Open. And then July is the British Open, so you've got one of those a month. You're going to have one signature event a month. I mean, so you're basically asking these guys, please, you got to come for all this money twice a month. I don't know what you do with a guy like McIlroy, who's you know probably already worth $1 billion.
At least, no telling. He's just going to play where he wants to. I don't know how they can entice him. You know, the money's not the issue for him anymore. He's after majors now, maybe a second Grand Slam. You know, he's going to pick and choose now.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So what was it like this past week for you after the Calkins column pointing out how many new customers have you gotten?
The phone blew up.
I figured.
But it was more congratulatory than it was new lessons. You know, after Augusta, I always get phone calls for the next 2 weeks. Biggest time of the year and for me getting golf lessons, but there were so many people that called and talked about it, and they were so happy about it, and it was really nice.
All right, now put your teaching cap on for us, and I think we're about to get some rain. It looks like late this evening, like somewhere between 10 o'clock and 3 o'clock in the morning or somewhere in there, we're going to get a bunch of rain, and then tomorrow at 3, and then the next morning at 3, we're supposed to get some storms. So that means conditions are going to be pretty wet. What do you do to compensate for that? Because I remember something that you've said when it's wet that you think is mandatory.
Well, depends, again, how wet it is. But the thing that most people don't get is when the ground gets soft and it's wet, that your feet sink into the ground.
Yep.
And a lot of people complain about hitting fat shots when it's wet because you're an inch or a half inch shorter than where when you started. So the answer is to choke up on your club when you're playing in wet weather, you know, and try and pick it clean, because the weight of your body gets you closer to the ball than you've ever been.
When you say choke up, you're only talking about, say, the quarter of an inch that you might. Half inch?
Half
okay.
Inch. Yeah.
No wonder it's not worked for me. I have only been going a quarter.
Are you getting ready for the father-son tournament?
I'm about to start. I haven't been able to play. I'll be able to start playing next week, but I had both my cataracts taken out, so now I'm a guy who can at least follow the ball after I've hit it. Here's the other question I got, especially when you're just starting back again in the spring. How do you find your rhythm, whether that's a quicker swing or like I like to go back slow and kind of hesitate before I move my hip toward the target? How what's a good way to sort of find your rhythm?
Well, hopefully you've got a pro that's helping you. I mean, most everybody should take it back slower than they do. And if you go to the range and you take it back slow, it's usually 3-1 speed-wise on three times faster coming down than it is going back. That's kind of the national average. But some guys go much slower, though, like Cameron Young. You know, there's guys that take it back 2 miles an hour and then rip it.
Yeah, but some guys, some of these pros take it back quick.
They go fast too. Oh, yeah. There is no law on it. There's no rule. It's kind of your own physical makeup, you know, what you can do, your muscle stretcher. Can you, are you better? You have to kind of figure out yourself. You know, if you don't have a pro helping you, you just got to go to the range and start hitting balls and see what's working. But
most
of the people I don't know take lessons somewhere.
I'm a firm believer, you know, of you and of lessons, because I like what you say. Guys that don't take lessons, they go and they work on their game. So they go to the driving range at golf and putt-putt at Summer Avenue at Golf and Games, and they groove a flawed swing.
See it every day. Every day. And then they go on YouTube. You know, that's so confusing for an average golfer now. It's something different from everybody that's on there. Then they really get messed up.
Key here is go see a golf professional. And I'll remember that. 3-1. So you go back real slow and then move that hip. I try to do that. Ted Butler, as always, I thank you very much. We'll do this again next Monday.
All right. Get ready for the father's son.
I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready. I promise you. Take care.
All right. Joseph's ready, too.
All right. I'm glad to hear that. Nathan is as well. That is Ted Butler on golf. That'll do it for us. We've got the usual suspects coming your way tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Have a great Monday, everyone. Johnny Radio is next.